Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is July the 23rd, 2012. Please call someone, text someone, tweet someone. Let them know we are on the air live, here and in person. Today is Monday, July the 23rd. The chat room is now open. Your comments and for your questions, you may type. Please feel free to respond at will. There's something that you hear that you like, respond to. For my first-time listeners on this evening, Victory Against All Odds is a broadcast, a radio talk show for the family, where we talk about some of the struggles that families face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse, which also leads into other discussions that come up as a result of the residue from the issues of life. So I thank each and every one of you. Let's talk. Grab your pen, so you can write down some information. First of all, my email address. My email address is odds, O, D as in dog, S as in Sam, _ against, _ the letter U at yahoo.com. Again, it's odds _ against _ the letter U at yahoo.com. You may also email me, and please put in the your subject line, Victory Against All Odds. Put VAAO in capital letters so that I may not delete your message. And also, you may leave me a confidential voicemail if you choose to do so. If you are needing prayer, if you have a question, you have a situation, and you just want to talk it out, you may do so with my Kingdom voicemail. The number is 641-715-3900. Again, that number is 641-715-3900. The access code is 343-658 pound. And you may talk up to an hour, and if you have a situation where it is more than an hour, you may simply hang up and call back in and continue the discussion. If you care to write me, or if you would like to be a sponsor or send a love offering, you may also write me at Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. And lastly, you may visit my website at www.oddsagainstyou, that's odds.webs.com, and simply go into the contact us tab and leave me your comment and your question or your concern. It would be nice if you just stop by and just leave a comment on the site. Thank you again for joining me. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. Truly, you have made my heart glad, those of you that are in the studio and those that will be joining me in the chat room and those that are just listening out in radio land. Thank you again. It is raining, pouring outside. Some people are experiencing storms. I wanted to just be mindful just in case I'm having some slow lag time with the system on this evening. In our most recent event, let me start with here. One last week, we took a pause break to see how you were doing and how I am doing. And so I thank God for moving forward. If you missed that broadcast, I truly encourage you to go back and just listen to the words of encouragement about moving forward, knowing that we don't have to look back and wonder other than how we got over. So thank God for moving forward. please go back and listen to that. Most recent event occurred, the Colorado movie shooting on last week. Certainly it is a tragic story. 12 dead and 58 others injured in the packed midnight screen of The Dark Knight Rises. So that kind of prompted me this evening to have the discussion. Certainly the question comes to mind, what happened? Well, you know, that's yet to be determined. However, it does open the discussion on tonight's topic, which is when time doesn't heal all wounds. And so I wanted to talk about depression. I wanted to talk about TDSP, and I wanted to talk about trauma. But I wanted to start with what depression is. After all, it's a timely discussion. So what is depression? Depression is a form of sadness. It is a state of unhappiness or hopelessness. And we've talked about the state of being hopeless and feeling hopelessness and what that does. Depression is a psychiatric disorder showing symptoms of persistent hopelessness, dejection, poor concentration, lack of energy, the inability to sleep, and sometimes the inability to process things, a state of loneliness. What is trauma? Trauma is an emotional shock, an extremely distressing experience that causes severe emotional shock and may have a long-lasting psychological effect. So that leads to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a mental health condition that is triggered by a terrifying event. Symptoms include flashbacks, nightmares, severe anxiety, as well as uncontrollable thoughts about whatever that event is. And that event could be anything that would cause you to be stressed. Many people who go through traumatic events have difficulty adjusting and coping for a while. But with time and taking care of yourself, such traumatic reactions usually do get better. In some cases, though, the symptoms get worse or they last for months, they last for years, or they can even last a lifetime. Sometimes they may completely shake your life. And so that leads to a discussion on tonight. In such cases as this, you may have post-traumatic stress disorder. We know that when we experience stress or trauma, it could be loss of your job, loss of a loved one, experience of rape, child abuse, marital problems, or natural disasters. That would cause you to lose life, limb, home, property, and it can affect us in many different ways. For each individual, that may look a little different. Trauma can shatter a person's beliefs and assumptions about what life is. It challenges their belief that they have the ability to handle life, and it tears apart their belief that the world is a just and orderly place to live. So when I took a look at the story of the Colorado shooting, we certainly don't know all the details. But certainly we were able, you know, as I read this, and I really didn't, if I may just talk about this for just a moment, I heard the story, but I just didn't really kind of get into it at that present time. But it did bother me because here we're talking about a 24-year-old former doctoral student who decided that he was going to go on a deadly rampage in a movie theater full of people, children, mothers, fathers, grandparents, babies, husbands, wives, friends, family. And, you know, the question does come to mind, what was he thinking? What was going through his mind at that time? And later, as they kind of began to do their investigation, they went to his apartment. His apartment was filled with trap wire, explosive devices, unknown liquids. It was booby trapped. So, you know, the thing that comes to my mind was, you know, somebody missed something somewhere. Somebody missed something. Someone wasn't paying attention. And this is how sometimes these things happen. So it just brought that to my attention, and you know, when we experience trauma, it really does kind of shake your life, you know, because sometimes these symptoms go unnoted and undetected for such a long time, or the person hasn't sought help in such a long time. The depression, you know, is different for each individual, and we understand that. It's feeling of unhappiness and it's feeling of the sad. It can be intense. It can be long-lasting. It can have a lasting negative impact on one's life. Depression causes one to lose interest or pleasure in their activities. They can have weight loss, weight gain, difficulty falling asleep. They're always on the edge, restless, lethargic. They may be slowed down, feeling worthless, guilty, depending on whatever that traumatic thing may be. Difficulty concentrating, difficulty making decisions. And, of course, as we just came out of the suicide, an American epidemic series, also it could cause one to just take their life because, you know, they're just not thinking clearly. And in their mind, you know, they see no end to whatever is going on in their life, whatever that thing is, which leads me to the PTSD. Depression is one of the most common occurrences, occurring disorders in PTSD. It has been found that among people who have had or have been diagnosed with PTSD, approximately 48% also had current or past depression. And people who have had PTSD at some point in their life are almost seven times as likely to be as people without PTSD to also have depression. And then another study found that 44.5% of those people who have PTSD 1 month after experiencing a traumatic event also had a diagnosis of depression. So there are definitely connections between PTSD and depression. Those connections are manifested in many forms. People with depression have been found to be more likely to have traumatic experiences than people without depression, which is in turn may increase the likeliness that PTSD would develop. Also, symptoms of PTSD can be distressing, it's debilitating, it causes the depression to develop. Some people with PTSD may feel detached, disconnected from their friends, from their family. They also find little pressure. You know, there are just so many avenues to depression, PTSD, and trauma. Well, then the question becomes, can you recover all? Can you recover? It depends on who you're asking. Truth is that everyone is not scarred from trauma. You actually can live a life to its fullest with help from compassionate people who know you're not holding on to the past. Remember, we talked about not looking back. So if you recall last week, we spoke about not looking back but moving forward. So PTSD is holding on to you. So don't allow depression, trauma, or PTSD to paralyze you. We need to work on letting it go. What are we letting go? Then becomes the question, what are we letting go? Thank you, Brother Dre, for joining me in the chat room this evening. Appreciate you. We're letting go alienating yourself from to prevent selfish situations. We're avoiding people and places that remind you of the trauma. We're letting go panicking in social situations that you can't escape. We're letting go hiding your feelings of anxiety and fear. We're letting go smiling or laughing so that others think that you're happy when you're really not. In other words, what I am saying, we have to take off the mask. We're letting go withdrawing ourselves from relationships and loved ones and becoming a hermit. We are letting go struggling to fall asleep and stay asleep. We're letting those things go. We're letting go relieving the trauma in dreams and flashbacks. We're letting go suffering in your performance at work and excuses for the lack thereof. We're letting go medicating your pain, drugs and alcohol and cutting and whatever you need to do to kind of make it. Remember, we talked about being able to face those things and embrace those things. We're letting go, avoiding plans for a future you doubt you'll ever see. Spirit of doubt, fear. We're letting go thinking about suicide. We just did that series. We're letting go feeling like you're not facing this issue, that issue, those issues all by yourself. There is help. We just need to come into a place where we are not afraid to ask for help. Ask, seek, find, knock. Do whatever you need to do. Fight, skip, hop, jump, crawl. Just seek help. Instead, we need to embrace the fear. Embrace your king. Be an overcomer. Become more than a conqueror through Christ. Healing comes through understanding. Know that it is not incurable and that depression, PTSD, trauma, know that it is not incurable and that recovery is possible. It is possible to recover. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What was meant for evil now can work for your good. So we just need to work it. I am glad to announce that I have some help tonight. Prophetess Karen Brank is on the line, on the air. Your mic is open, and I wanted to bring her in because she knows a few things, and just I wanted to just kind of open up that discussion with the time that we're remaining. But I wanted to also say that we need to be able to come to a place where we can embrace our trials, embrace the test, and turn it into a testimony. The question for tonight is, or the statement I should say is, when time doesn't heal all wounds. So what does that look like? When time doesn't heal all wounds.
Mm-hmm.
When time doesn't heal all wounds, what do we do when we don't know what to do? What do we say when we don't know what to say? What, you know, where do we go when we don't know where? When time doesn't heal all wounds, then you get the story with the 24-year-old. You know, what was going on with him? Why did he do this? What was going on with him? And, of course, we don't have those answers. But when time doesn't heal wounds, these are some of the results of the stories that we hear all around the country. Because in order to get to a place called there where they were, something had to happen or not.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings, Pastor Dorothy. Thank you for joining me on this evening. The question on tonight, when time doesn't heal all wounds. So please, and join in on the discussion. Thank you. I appreciate you. Greetings, Brother Dre. Please join in. Prophetess Brank, when time doesn't heal all wounds, what do we do? What do we do?
Well, one of the reasons, too, the reason why time doesn't heal is because you have such a stigma that is attached to the minority community, such as Hispanics, African-American, Asian. I mean, because they feel that family and the church community should take care of it. But it's so many unchurched individuals now. So people are not seeking God. And whenever there is a nation that turns its back on God, then you have disorder. Because God is a God. And whenever people are baptized in the Holy Spirit or they come to Christ, Galatians 5:22-25, you have the fruits of the Spirit, you have love. But the opposite of love is hate. So you have people walking around with this like pressure cookers that have hate attached to them. Then you have joy. I mean, because God, you have, when you have God in your life, you have like a joy that surpasses all human understanding. But if you don't have that type of joy that comes with the Holy Spirit, you have despair. And then you have peace. But if you're not having peace, you're tormenting. And, you know, a lot of people don't believe that, you know, if you believe in God, you got to believe in the devil. And when you look into that guy's eyes that committed this heinous crime, I mean, it looked, his eyes looked really empty. They looked very empty. And one of the things about psychosis, when you could tell those things by the eyes, whether somebody's intoxicated, whether somebody's psychotic, whether somebody's possessed by demons, it's always, you can look in their eyes. And their eyes tell a story. So where was mom? Where was dad? Where was pastor? Where were people in the community when he was going through this long suffering? And, you know, long suffering builds patience and resilience, but when you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, it comes impatience. When there's kindness, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't become short-tempered person or lack, you're uncompassionate, and you have goodness, but the opposite of goodness is evil. And faithfulness. You have lack of faith. I mean, he probably stopped believing in anything. I mean, because anybody that has a loving God like Jesus Christ, you know, I'm not saying that he didn't love Christ, but it couldn't have been living in him to have for him to make that decision. Because one thing about the Holy Spirit, it quickens you. It quickens your spirit, and when you sold, when you totally sold out to God, the way that you're supposed to be, if something arises up in you and stops you whenever you feel that you want to do something, because when God, because God takes care of something, because God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." So whatever it was that you're going through, God is the ultimate judge. I mean, he could be your judge, he could be your lawyer, and he could be your jury. And, you know, sometimes it might take time to see that justice comes, but it will come. And faithfulness, sometimes people feel like they don't have anything to look forward to. That means that they lack faith. Gentleness isn't there. And people become crass and rude. Self-control. I can share this. And in 2006, I began to get to know Christ again. I kind of rededicated my life, because before that time, you know, I would go leave and come back and leave and come back. But, you know, when I went to the Holy Spirit, because I had some traumatic events myself. The first one was domestic violence. And domestic violence, there's so many dynamics to that that cause you to be traumatized with that particular issue. But I went to, you know, I went to the Holy Spirit and began to ask questions of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that I went to God immediately. I didn't get totally sold out. Something else happened in my life that caused me to be totally sold out. But with that trauma came an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I was talking about, and God imparted me with all those fruits. And when those fruits were imparted into me, I began to heal. But it did take time, because, you know, when the enemy knows who you are, because the enemy knows who God's people. There's so many spirits out there. There was one, that particular one, that I think that a lot of fivefold ministry people or people of God, it's called the spirit of Delilah. And this particular spirit is not man or female. It is not gender specific. And what it does, it preys on specific people that have an assignment or are chosen by God, because Delilah actually means temptress. So this spirit does all that it can to bring somebody down. They'll allow you to lie in its lap so they can cut your locks off. That means cut your anointing off, suck the life out of you, take all your joy away and your peace, cause you to suffer without human comprehension. But when you allow God to come in and you open up, because it's not all that people say, well, you just forgive. Sometimes with trauma, it's not really all that simple. You have to acknowledge that you have been traumatized, first of all. And then, two, you got to begin to process it. Then you begin to pray. And some problems do not come without fasting and prayer. And then you begin to let go, and then you begin to forgive. Because one thing about this particular man, I see unforgiveness. Unforgiveness that has been compounded in the bitterness. I don't know if anybody was able to discern that either. Yeah, and another thing is the body of Christ needs to be more discerning. That's one of the things that's happening. The body isn't as discerning as it needs to be, because if everybody around him had God in their life, they would have seen it come, and they would have been given some type of rhema word and been able to discern that something wasn't going on. Something wasn't right that was going on with this particular individual. And I know one scripture comes to mind, and it says, oh, satisfy us with your mercy and loving kindness in the morning, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. So when God has that mercy, because his mercy is everlasting, you can't help but to have joy in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, because, and then after that, I experienced a violent attack, and then after the violent on my job, and then after the violent attack, I got fired. So that particular circumstance is when my doctors gave me the post-traumatic stress disorder diagnosis. But I got help within my church community, within my doctors, because they just was like, that's a lot to have to go, because you it's just like a death. It's a loss because you lost your job. It was everything that I had ever known, because I was a social worker for 16 years, everything that I had ever known. And then, you know, and even though God turned it into something, you know, what was meant for evil, God meant for good, because I went into ministry full time. But, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to know that God heals. God is there, and he heals, and he delivers. And another thing, too, is deliverance.
And
that apostolic office.
And you know what? While you're right there, Proverbs 3:24-25 says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster. And, you know, that that came to mind so that we know that, you know, there is help. You know, there is, so when I, well, the question was, can you recover all? You know, and so when I read, you know, that, you know, question, you know, to me, the answer is yes. We can recover all. You just have to line yourself up, have the right tools, as I often say, the right weapons, and be able to use them. Because like you said, you know, I have suffered some traumatic things in my life. I have suffered PTSD, you know, but I'm here. I'm healed, delivered, and whole, you know, able to give back, able to go back and pull somebody else up and out, you know. But we've got to be willing to take off the mask. We've got to be willing to thyself be true. You know, we've got to be willing to fight for our life, literally fight for our life. We've got to be able and willing and wanting to get our identity back. You know, we've got to be able to take charge of what is ours, you know, our life, you know, our health, our strength, you know. And and so when we do this, you know, we no longer have to live a defeated life, one that is just filled with torment, you know, torment in our mind, in our bodies, in our spirits, you know. And so, you know, it becomes a place where we can begin to fully recover, change the outcome, if you will. And then when we do that, we begin to look at life through a different lens. You know, therefore, we don't feel like, you know, that life is not just and not orderly, and that we do live in a orderly, there that earth, or that our life has order to it and it has purpose, you know, and that we have destiny, you know, and that we're grounded, and we can, you know, we can pursue, that we can, you know, we can move forward, you know, that for whatever reason, you know, he has me standing on moving forward. So, so we know that, and I think one of the things that you also said was, you know, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We know that healing comes from understanding. You know what the enemy's plan is. I've always said that. And then when we know what his plan is, then we know what weapons we can use to counteract the plan of the enemy.
Amen.
You know, because distraction, you know, we know that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm.
You know? So when we know these things, then we have power over the enemy. But the most important thing that I think I heard you say also is forgiveness. We've got to face that thing, embrace that thing. We have got to learn to forgive, because when we don't, hatred, bitterness, rejection, spirit
mm-hmm.
of thief, the spirit of torment will cause us to literally die, you know, in our spirit, in our minds. And
mm-hmm.
if you linger too long, eventually you will die, spiritually, because you're cutting off your life, or you take your life, because the enemy has behooved you, hoodwinked you, and thought and told you that you are less than.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And,
amen.
I think we need to start supporting our people and not judging them as much when they come to us in church asking for help. We need to help them and pray for them instead of being judgmental, because a lot of times people come to us in church every day clapping, shouting, but they're wounded. And it's so important for them to be set free, because a lot of this is rooted in fear. And God did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us a sound mind.
Yes.
To over, you know, in love, to overcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He did. He gave us a sound mind. He equipped us with everything that we need to be victorious. Everything.
Amen.
All. The word is all. A-L-L in capital letters. All.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us all. So there's nothing that we should lack. We just have to know how to tap in. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dorothy said. Great broadcast. Anything else?
I think, too, that people seek out psychiatric help when needed, and then pastors that can provide support, because a lot of times people want their pastors involved. And that's fine, too, but they need to get the help they need so it doesn't lead to homicidal and suicidal behavior.
Thank you. I have 27 seconds for those of you that are in the chat room and those of you that are listening in Radio Land that want to join in. You may want to go ahead and press the 1, because we're probably going to go over, and then you'll stay connected to the broadcast. If you are not, then I just want to say thank each and every one of you for joining me on this evening. Pastor Dorothy, Brother Dre, thank you so much. Okay, go ahead. Prophetess Karen, go ahead.
And it was another scripture I wanted to read. It says that this is the day in which the Lord has brought about. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We have to rejoice in God every single day, because what has happened is that God has been removed. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, people of God who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from wicked ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Turn away from your wicked ways. And when I hear you say turn away, that
mm-hmm.
you know, that you know, we're turning our back to those things that are
mm-hmm.
not of God. We're turning our backs to those things that are negative in our life, and we're turning back to it. So therefore, you know, we can no longer I got distracted because they're typing in the chat room. Brother Dre, thank you. He's gone. He didn't press one, so he can't hear. But thank you. And then Pastor Dorothy, I think, is actually in the studio. I just thought about that.
Okay.
She's in the studio. But, yes, I found mine. Absolutely. I'm turning away from those things that are not of God. But we've got to get to a place where we can do that, you know, where we're willing to do that, willing to be in a place where we are vulnerable. And when we're vulnerable, then we can, then, you know, then we can get the help we need, because then there we can reach, you know, we can reach to those who can help us, you know, and be willing to go through the process in order to get to the place that He has for us.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have some other people that are in the studio. Pastor Dorothy, did you have something to say? Can I bring you in? Did you add 3 cents to it? Okay. Prophetess, I'm going to bring Pastor Dorothy in. I think she wants to join in the conversation.
Okay.
Well, praise God, Pastor Dorothy.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I certainly can. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I really enjoyed it. It was beautiful. And everything is just, I mean, I just line upon line and precept upon precept. So I'm just in full agreement, especially with the number one being forgiveness. I mean, that is so. I had a broadcast today, and I didn't say that to do that, okay? I must say that. I don't like doing that. But this gentleman called in for prayer because it was just afternoon prayer. And he said, pray because this nigger stabbed my friend and he's in the hospital. But I think he thought, I believe he knew my ethnicity because of my, you know, I don't know. I believe he knew. And that's probably why he said it. But then also he was hurt. And I just thank God for the love of Jesus. You know, I asked for the name of the person who was hurt. And I you know, began to pray. I asked for his name, and he didn't want to give it. He hung up. But he wasn't on the call the whole time, so I discerned that he was one of the guests in the chat room. And but nevertheless, the first thing we prayed was the forgiveness, because faith works by love, and we're gonna believe God for the healing. And we definitely got to walk in forgiveness. So that's what I was thinking about when I was listening. And, you know, the tragedies, people get there in anger, and you can't experience the deliverance and the healing and the wonderful miracle that you need when you're in anger and bitterness, like all the things that you all were saying. So, I mean, I'm just in full agreement. It was wonderful, and appreciating, you know, this topic, especially for the time we're in. And so I mean, it was a pleasure to say hello. I was letting you know that I was here, and that's what came to me. I went, wow, I experienced that today. It was an opportunity for, you know, for me to be off guard, but I thank God that I do well in love. I try my hardest, you know, to live there and not to visit there. So I immediately just felt compassion for him. And I had this gentleman, Prophetess Thomas, and he was on with me, and he began to pray. He didn't hear the gentleman, and he happens to be of Caucasian, but he didn't hear the gentleman. His line dropped off. So when he came back online, I told him what the gentleman had said. But we prayed already, and could he pray too? And then he began to pray supernatural forgiveness. I never heard that, honestly. He began to say supernatural forgiveness, Jesus, as you did on the cross, grant him supernatural forgiveness. And I went, wow, interesting. So that's just another thing that but I'm just excited about the broadcast. Thank you. Didn't mean to hold up so much, but I really appreciate you, women of God. And honestly, great broadcast, and I definitely will be following so I can catch more.
Praise God for you. Pastor Dorothy, and I appreciate you tuning in. And I also appreciate you having, you know, having something to say and putting your two cents in, because, you know, it takes all of us, you know, to bring down the strongholds and the giants, you know. It takes all of us. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's not all about, you know, it's all of us. We all are in this together, you know. And I think when we become unified in the body of Christ, then, you know, we can get rid of some of the spots and some of the wrinkles and prepare the kingdom coming of the Lord. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, my kingdom assignment is to help those who are hurting, who have been wounded, who, you know, who are lost, and bring them to a place of healing, forgiveness, you know, salvation. But because, like Prophetess Karen said, you know, we go to church Sunday in, Sunday out. We sing, we shout, and we dance over stuff. And no one wants to talk about the issues. And we can't shout over everything. We got to actually have dialogue and conversation about the things, you know, that are going on in the lives of the people. Now, I had a conversation, you know, not too long ago about, you know, the role of the shepherd. If the role of the shepherd is to take care of the sheep.
Come on, say that.
I said the sheep are dumb, you know, but how are you going to care for your sheep if you don't know what the issues are? How are you going to pray? You won't know what to pray for. You've got sheep that are hurting. There's no healing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're preaching, you're shouting, and you're singing. You want them to praise the Lord, but you haven't touched the heart of the matter. You haven't, you know, brought them to a place where they can have dialogue, where you can hear their heart. How can you cover the sheep if you don't know what the issues are at hand? We can't bring down the kingdom. We can't go against Satan. We can't bind the strong man if we don't know what the strong man is. It has a name. It has an identity. We are to pray, and we need to be specific when we pray, and we need to call those things out. Bring them to a place where we can pull up that root and cut its head off.
Yes, exactly.
But if we don't have dialogue, if we just shout over it, that's not healing. You're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. You're just wasting time.
Well, see, some of them, I don't know how. I mean, I really don't know how, but out of these many years of being in different ministries and now just on my own recently in the past 3 years,